So if you have your Bible with you, could you please turn to Psalm 100 and let me read to you this beautiful and wonderful Psalm. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful psalm, whom you have inspired your prophet to write, to pen it, Lord, so that we may know about you, to praise you and thank you for all the good things that you have done to your people, for your people, and also for your glory and for your honor. We thank you, Father. As we open this book, as we meditate upon it, may your Holy Spirit touch every heart, both speaker and hearer, that this morning we will know you more and magnify you, Lord, above all. This we pray, we ask, giving you thanks, in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a beautiful psalm. And then we have here in this psalm, actually, you have two things. At such an occasion, we should have a right attitude. Many a church, whenever they have this anniversary, a celebration, they will list their achievements, the progress in that passing year. But I believe that this church, this psalm here is teaching us to adopt this attitude, two attitudes here, to magnify God, to know who the Lord is, and then having known who the Lord is, the other attitude is to respond accordingly to who God is. So we have this in this psalm here. If you look at this psalm again very carefully, and you find that in verse 1, in verse 3 you have, it says there, know ye that the Lord, he is God. And it is he that hath made us and not ourselves. We know we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And then look at verse 5. You say, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth for all generations. So you have the first part here, the first attitude that we should have, I think on this very wonderful day, is to know who the Lord is. This is the first attitude when we come before the Lord this day, to know who the Lord is. Now the second attitude that is given in this verse here, in this psalm here, is verses 1, 2, and 4. Look at observe also the action words displayed. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his holy name. So this is the second attitude. Having known who God is, and then the appropriate response to the Lord are these seven action words. And I believe that this is most appropriate that on such an occasion as this church, True Life Bible Presbyterian Church, we celebrate 4 years of God's blessing, that we come here instead of just pride ourselves in the achievements that we make or we have done in the church. We come with this attitude. Number one, to know who the Lord is. Remind ourselves who the Lord is, and then you will find that the psalm here tells us and encourages us to respond appropriately and accordingly to who the Lord is. So if you are ready, let us look at the psalm more closely. And so, right from the very first thing that the psalmist here say, know ye that the Lord is God. So the first thing is to know that who is the Lord is, who is Lord. And here you have the personal name of God, the personal covenant name of God, a covenant keeping God. In Exodus chapter 3, that's where the Lord said to Moses, he has appeared to them and told them that he is El Shaddai, the Almighty God. But as the Lord God, as Yahweh, he has not shown to them. So he told them. He said to them that he has seen the suffering of his people, that he had heard their cries, and that he cared, and that he's going to bring them out of Egypt, because he is the Lord. And so we see, first of all, when we mention the word God, the Lord, whenever we pray to him and call him Lord, we are acknowledging that he is the living God, and he hears, he sees, he cares, he's able to save us. How wonderful it is. And today, as we know this, this is very important, that here we have God who is the Lord, who cares, who sees, who hears, and who delivers us. And then you will find that the psalmist also say that he is God. He is the one true living God, Elohim. And it means that he is the one who created, he's all-powerful, El Shaddai, all-powerful. And how powerful it is. And the psalmist is that he has made us, for he has made us. He created us. He created the heaven and the earth and all that are, and all the things that are therein. And so say Paul in Lystra. When the people in Lystra wanted to exalt Paul and Barnabas as Mercury and Jupiter, the gods of the Greeks, and Paul came and said, no, you are all wrong. You are Messiah. This miracle that has been wrought by them or through them is to lead them to recognize the one living and true God, who is the creator of heaven and earth and all that are therein. So God created you. God created me. All that we are, all that we have, every perfect and good thing that everyone has enjoyed, Christians and non-Christians, all come from the Almighty God, the Lord God. He is God. He is the one and living God. How wonderful it is. Coming back to meditate upon the word Lord, we all know Psalm 23. I've shared with you, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is your Lord and my Lord. Of course, the non-Christians, the non-believers cannot call him Lord because they are not his people yet. But you are the Lord God. Now we are going to see the next thing here. He is God, and that he hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people. What do you think of this? We are his people. How do we become his people? He has chosen us. We were formerly sinners, undone, strayed away from him. And he's chose us. Not because you are great, not because you are better than the other person. In fact, maybe you are worse. You agree? He chose you not because you are great. He chose you there are many different races here. Majority here are Chinese, not because you come from a great country. He did not choose you because of that. No. He chose us because he loved us. We are all condemned. We have sinned against him. And he chose us even before the foundation of the world, because he loved you and me. How did he do it? He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins. Now, he can't just forgive us and not send the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be going against his nature, his character, his holiness, his righteousness. Although he's all love, but he's all righteous and holy. And he must satisfy that holiness and that righteousness. And the only way to do is to send the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, because that is the price, his death on the cross. The penalty of sin is death. And only the Lord Jesus Christ can satisfy his justice, his holiness. And all because of who? Because of you and me. So he has bought you and bought me with his precious blood. So we become his people. Don't you want to be his people? Some people, I don't want to be. No, when God calls you, he blesses you. It is a privilege, in fact, to be saved. If not, if you are not his people, what would happen to you when you die? You know, God has been so merciful, indeed. We'll see that later. But if you die in your sin, you will go to hell in the lake of fire, be tormented, burned forever and ever and ever. Do you know that? You do not know, but the Bible tells us you can't escape from him because there is God who created the heavens and the earth. He created you and me. He wants us to obey him, love him, serve him. But we have gone astray, gone against him, and because we have sinned against him, his wrath is upon everyone. And all of us who die in your sins will end up in the lake of fire. But he saved you from that. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved you. He sent Jesus Christ. You believe in him. You are saved from the lake of fire. And when you die, you will be with him. But he promised also to come back. So before you die, you are still here on this earth. And you have the Lord Jesus Christ in you. You are a Christian, a born-again Christian. Then you belong to him. You'll be with him in the new heaven, new earth, in paradise, forever and ever and ever. That is our God. You are his people. How wonderful it is. The Lord God, he is God. He made us. You are his people. Are you his people? Can you say in your heart, I am his people? I belong to him? Can you say in your heart, if there's anyone here who is not, you can't say it. This morning here, before you leave this hall, you better ask yourself this question. If anyone who is here who is not sure whether you belong to him, I encourage you to examine yourself and make sure that you are. These people. If not, read theology for everyone. Every one of you given a copy, you better read. You read that very particular chapter on salvation about Jesus Christ. Read this particular one, and may God open your eyes and convict you, and you be saved. So if you are not a Christian, you come here, you have a copy, you read it. If you are not sure of salvation, read it, you be sure. If those of you who already are Christians, read it also so that you can teach others. You can lead others to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to be. We are his people. We belong to him. And because we belong to him, God, as we are his beloved possessions, you know, precious possessions. How precious? Because he died for you. He shed his precious blood for you. And you must see it personally, individually, that Christ died for me, individually. I don't want to say also that Christ died for the whole world. It's very true. But I want to say individually, Christ died for me. And if Christ died for me, what should my response be? And the psalmist will tell us later. Oh, we belong to him. Don't you love him? Yes, you love him. Christ died for you. Now, what is the thinking that the psalmist says here after that? And the sheep of his pasture. And here is, we have here a very strong indication that the Lord is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And then I'm talking about pasture. In other words, here the Lord, you going back again to Psalm 23, you have the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In other words, that the Lord provides, protects us. He leads us. He guides us. He provides everything for us. There He is. He's the shepherd. He loves you. And if you are lost, you stray away, He'll come and look for you. And if you refuse to come, He will chastise you until because He loves you, because He wants to bless you. The Lord cannot bless you if you still consider sin in your heart. If you are an unrepentant Christian, you have committed sin, you stray away. God will chastise you and bring you back because He wants to bless you. So that when you pray, He will hear your prayers. But if you still consider sin in your heart, you pray, the Lord will not hear you. And so first, as a Christian, you must always try to walk close with the Lord, walk in the path of righteousness, follow Him. Jesus Christ says what? As a shepherd, my sheep hear my voice. If you are a born-again Christian, you will hear the voice of Jesus Christ. You will not hear the voice of any other people, but only the voice of Jesus Christ. You remember I shared with you that illustration, which is very true, and how the shepherds in the Palestine, and they led their sheep, and then sometimes they have to gather together in one place, a kiosk where they can drink their cup of tea and have a rest, and all the sheep all mingle together and all lying down there waiting for their shepherd. And then the moment one shepherd gets up to leave, he will blow his flute, and when he blows his flute, only his sheep will stand up and follow him. If I were to be there, and I will take his flute, and I will play that flute, no sheep will stand up and follow me. Because they know the master's, the shepherd's voice. If you are a Christian, you believe the Lord Jesus Christ is your shepherd, you will listen to Him. You know His voice. You will follow His voice. And not the voice of any other people. How wonderful. And so hear the Lord. We are the sheep of His pasture. And pastures meaning that there's always provisions. And God will take care of them. How wonderful it is. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I'll go to verse 5. For the Lord is good. Only God is good. Can you say, does the Lord ever want bad thing for you? Is He cruel? No. Is He not merciful to you? Yes. The Lord will always give you good things. How can you be sure of that? That the Lord will always give you good things. There are many people, sometimes when they are suffering, they put up your fist against God. God, are you there? Are you blind? Can't you see? Right? Have you ever said that to God? Have you ever complained to God? Because you are suffering? Because you have these bad things to happen to you? Here, the psalmist says, the Lord is what? Is good. Then why am I suffering? What does the psalmist say? In the whole book of Revelation, God says what? He spared not His only begotten Son. He spared not His only begotten Son. God loves Jesus Christ, His Son. God is together with Him. They were together from eternity to eternity. And God, according to the word of God, the Father spared not His Son to die for you. And according to the Paul himself, who is the prophet, apostle of Christ, he says what? If God spared not His Son to die for you, will He not give you anything good? Everything, anything good? Surely He will. What can be better than He gave His Son? So He will not withhold anything good from you. Even the bad thing that happens to you is for good. And so whenever bad things happen to you, sit down. Say the Lord is good. What good is coming out of this? Bitter. Sometimes we take bitterness, bitter things, right? And after that bitterness, there's a sweetness in the mouth. That is it. And so find out. Never, if you are a child of God, in anything that happens to you, you think that it is bad, stop and think and say the Lord is good. And so something is good for me in this particular experience. And find out. And once you have found out, oh, you will praise God. In fact, he says here, and then here, in addition to this, he said, the Lord, his mercy, God is mercy, his mercy is everlasting. So, in expansion to the fact that he is good, his mercy is everlasting. How wonderful it is. It is true. You know, what we deserve from God as sinners is death. If he had been merciful, all of us would not be able to live on this earth. He's merciful. He sent the rain to whom? Only the farmers who are Christians? Only? How wonderful, huh? I mean, it'd be very surprising. You are a farmer, and the rain comes only your side. That's rain. The other side, no rain. Because you are Israel. No, but the Bible tells that he sends rain to both sides. Everyone. Is he not merciful? And because he's merciful, so merciful that others are angry with him. No. If God gives us what we deserve, all of us will die. Indeed, he's merciful. He gave us chance after chance after chance on this earth. And we should always respond to that. We should always say, the Lord is good, the Lord is merciful, and then his truth endureth to all generations. Universal. What are the truths? That he created this world. That there is the one and true living God, and he is the Lord God. That his Son is Jesus Christ. That he came down to earth and died for our sins. That the truth. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And that he rose again from the dead. And he's ascended to heaven. He's praying for us. And he's coming back again. That is the truth. And the truth also, if those who do not believe in him will perish. And when they die, they will perish. And be cast into the lake of fire. That's the truth. The truth also that a good tree will bear good fruit. You are a Christian tree. You must bear Christian fruit. Remember that. That's the truth. And the Bible says what? The truth shall set you free. Christ died on the cross. He has conquered Satan. That's the truth. If you have Jesus Christ in you, Satan cannot do anything against you anymore. He cannot possess you. But you have his truth. You are free from him. You don't have to be afraid to go into a haunted house. Because you have the truth. You are greater. He who is in you is greater than he who is outside. You don't have to be afraid. That's the truth. So you have the truth. The truth shall set you free. Not for that moment only, but forever. To all generations. And so you see in this psalm, it began with calling. Here began with here, universally. All come. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. All ye lands, all ye people, universally. And now having known who God is now here, knowing that the Lord is God, in these things we know who he is. How do we respond? What is that? The following attitude. The second attitude is how do we respond to know who the Lord is? Now let us look through very quickly here. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Of course, we don't like the word noise here. Here it means that make a joyful noise means shout. Let the whole world know. Or maybe not necessary here, right? All the people here. Even when we sing here, just now we sing a lot. We should always sing with all our heart, like all of you. All of us here can sing. God has given you the voice to sing. The greatest instrument that God gave to you and me is the voice, that you can sing. You can make all the different, pitch, you know, the sound, everything, and yet the sound comes out is meaningful. That is the greatest instrument. You can play the organ, the organ makes the sound only. You can play the violin, but it makes the sound, but you do not know. You ever go to a concert and see somebody play the violin and say, what is the violin saying? You do not know. You have to need somebody to interpret. This one interpret this way, another interpret another interpret, all different ways. You can't hear. Trumpet blows also, you only sound. But you, when you blow, when you sing, and the children, little children sing, the young people, the choir, everyone of them sing. Do you understand? They sing beautiful. You are listening to the sound. You listen to the harmony. Wonderful, nice. Do you understand what they say? Yes. The young people say, I will follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church choir say, one foundation, one faith, one baptism. You understand there is only this instrument can. No other instruments. And God made a musical instrument powerful. Because God wants you to sing to Him. As someone said, maybe John Calvin is the one who said that music is next to theology. And I was taught by my principal when I was in FEBC. Music is next to theology. In heaven, there's full of music, you know? It's not quiet. In heaven, angels are singing. You will be singing all about the Lord God. So in heaven, it's not quietness. No. It's always singing, praising, wonderful. That is why music is next to theology. And God gives you a voice to sing. When I ask you to sing, you don't sing. But I ask you to cry and scream. Well, you can cry and scream very loud. But I ask you to sing for the Lord. You don't open your mouth. And you go and say, I can't sing. That's nonsense. You only always sing the different tune. The tune that you want to sing, you can sing. But as you sing the Lord, you should. We all should. And here, the psalmist says, you know who the Lord is, you make a joyful sound here. Not noise, you know, because we always use the word noise as something that's dead. Don't make noise. Don't do this. That's noisy. And all that thing. No. Here is make a joyful sound unto the Lord. To shout. Yes, all ye lands, everyone. And then you have the next one. Serve the Lord with gladness. And the first thing is to serve the Lord. The next thing is to serve the Lord because He is the Lord God. You want to serve who? The Lord God is a privilege to serve Him. Right? And God wants us to serve Him. And the service is to worship Him, to serve Him, and not serve any other man, not serve any other God. Non-serve even mammon, money. And many of us are guilty of it. We serve money. And here, who is the Lord God? He is God. We have just known. Know ye that He is God. We serve Him because He wants us to serve Him. And in what ways? Well, many ways. One of the things that God wants you and me to do is go and preach the gospel. God wants you and me to do is go and witness Christ to others. Serve the Lord. Are you serving Him? Or are you serving yourself? Are you serving mammon? Or are you serving another person? Or you are serving an organization? When you should be serving whom? The Lord God. Here is your God, the creator of you and me, made you and me. He's your pasture. You are His people. He bought you. Why are you not serving Him? And here He says, serve Him. How? He says here in verse 2 here, serve Him and come before with gladness, to serve Him with gladness, with joy. Don't be like someone who told me that when you serve the Lord, be an elder of the church or a deacon of the church or even a serve in the different committee and says, and she said, it's an unthankful job. Do you feel that way too? Yeah, you see some people, because when you serve the Lord, you've been despised and people don't appreciate and say all the bad things about you. You don't think of that. You better think of the other and have this attitude. I'm serving the Lord God Almighty. What a privilege. And who He is. The all-powerful God, the God who hears, who sees, who knows, who cares for me. And if I serve Him, I will serve with gladness, with joy, with happiness. Now you say, come before His presence with singing. Did you come here this morning with singing in your heart, with songs in your heart? Did you? Or you come with the idea that, well, today I come. It's Sunday. I have to come. I'm a Christian, therefore I must come. Or today, a little better, we are going to have also a gift, a book. Is that what you were thinking? Or when you come, you say, wow, this is a beautiful day, another Lord's Day. And there's song in your heart, your mind. And then when we open the first hymn and we sing, our God, through the ages, been so wonderful. How do you sing? Do you open your mouth and you let off every steam inside? Oh, I only wish one day all the lamps here will shake and rattle. Oh, and God is glorified and honored. He will come down. You will sense His very presence. The whole ground will shake. Yes. And Samuel prayed and called for thunder and rain. He did. Thunder and rain came. And the people were fearful. And you can too. And you do that. And when you sense the awesomeness of God, and you will not only fear, you will say, love Him. This is my God. Oh, wonderful. Come before His presence with singing. God has given you a voice, a heart to sing. Come before His presence with singing. That's what we should do. Now, as you move on now to verse 4, and then it says here, enter His gates with thanksgiving. And the word His gates here gives an idea of His administration in those days, where the gates of a city is a place where the administrative of people are there to administer, to control or govern the city. And so you enter his gates with thanksgiving. So you understand, you have to understand God's administration, God deals, how God deals with you. And you should be very thankful that God deals with you in the most gracious way. Right? Enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts. Of course, you can say, yes, it's the courts of law, the courts, the throne of God, the judgments that have been made. And all the judgments are just and good. Enter His gates and into His courts with praise and thanksgiving. Oh, the judgment. When you go to the court, you see the judgment of God. Oh, Lord, thank You for His justice. When you enter His gates, oh, is this how You deal with us? Thank You, Lord. Yes, not with us, dealt with us according to our sins. Oh, enter into His gates and courts with thanksgiving, with praise. You praise the Lord all the time. And this is the Lord our God. And be thankful unto Him and bless His holy name. Be thankful. So God has been so wonderful to us. How many times have we thanked Him? I pray that I may encourage you that every time you go to prayer, first thing, don't have give a list of things that you want. Don't worry about that. God knows what you want. The most important thing is that whenever you go into His presence, be thankful to Him. Thank Him all the time. The Lord Jesus Christ healed 10 lepers. From far away, go and see the priest. And they went. While they were going to see the priest, all of them got healed. And they kept going, except one. And who is the Samaritan? Say, well, I'm healed. I must go back. I must go back and thank Him. And he came back and thanked the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was so happy. In fact, Christ asked him, didn't there were 10, where are the other 9? So in other words, God wants us, would like us to be thankful to him for what he did for us. God is so wonderful to you. Don't ever think that you are as a Christian, you're not being blessed. You are blessed. Sit down, count your blessings. Be thankful to him. Every little thing. And then he says here, and then in the end of all these things, may you bless his holy name. In other words, all the things that you say of God, praising him, you bless his name. God, you are wonderful. Lord God. This is the Lord our God. Today as we come here, let us adopt this attitude. Always adopt this attitude. Know who the Lord is. Do you know? Know him. The psalmist here has written for us. And then what should be our right response? And when we do this correctly, the right response, you don't have to worry. We in this church here, that God has caused the leaders of this church to form this church, to establish this church 4 years ago, in order to stand squarely. It may be a haven and a bulwark for those who stand squarely on the word of God. The doctrines of the BP Church, right from the very beginning, has always been true, faithful to the word of God. And now, because of the influences of false teachers, some have deviated away, have gone away from this. And then we need, therefore, to establish a haven and a bulwark for all those who want to stand squarely and firmly, faithfully on the word of God. And I believe with all my heart that the leaders of this church will only allow those preachers and teachers in this church to preach faithfully the word of God. And I know for sure that all those who love the Lord all over, anywhere, who believe in the word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, will seek the true church, the church that faithfully preached the word of God for the people of God, knows the voice of God and will not stray away from him. So on this particular day, these two attitudes, not only on this day but also throughout our life, know who God is, who the Lord God is, and respond accordingly. You find in the responses here, he says nothing about asking God for our things. It's all about God, thanking him, blessing him, and praising him, and be grateful to him. The Lord will bless you abundantly. May the Lord bless all of us. And having known this, be strong and courageous. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word. And we pray, Father, what we have learned may remain with us. This we pray, we ask you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.